Let's open our Bibles together in the book of Philippians and the chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 1. And let's follow the reading of God's precious word. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the leading and guiding of thy Holy Spirit, and as we meditate upon thy word, may our hearts be truly blessed. We thank thee, O God, that we can gather round thy book and hear thy voice. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt truly speak to us. And Lord, just edify us. For those that know not the Lord Jesus, may they know the greatest gift of all, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Whenever Paul was in prison in the city of Rome, his affection for the believers at Philippi was certainly very evident. And often in the midst of his adversity, in the midst of his suffering, he would think upon the fellowship of the believers at Philippi. And as he would think upon them and have memories of them and the fellowship they had with them, there was something that warmed his heart about them. And there was something that really blessed his soul. You know, whenever you think about him being in prison and suffering for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the stillness of the night of his suffering and sorrow, he could find real comfort. He could find real joy as he would remember the sweet fellowship of the family of God there in the church at Philippi. And of course, as he contemplates and as he thinks upon them and has them on his mind, he pens this letter to the church at Philippi, simply, first of all, to express his thanks for their friendship and for their fellowship in the gospel, and also in that practical support over the years. Now, we have looked at verses 1 and 2, and we find that he opens up with a greeting. And of course, he's writing the letter to the church at Philippi, and he greets them in the name of the Lord Jesus. He says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." But having first of all greeted the believers there, or sends his greetings to them, then he follows on with his gratitude. Because that's what's expressed here in verses 3 and 4. It's the gratitude of the child of God, which he has in his heart towards them. Verses 3, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship," verse 5, "in the gospel from the first day until now." And so we find here, he expresses his gratitude for the family of God. He's praying for them. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He was just thinking about prayer and how we ought to pray for the family of God. And I read this week just a little thought about it's a little children's thought, I suppose, in certain ways. Because whenever we come to pray for the family of God, it's like the hand. It's like the hand. And of course, when you have your hand like this, the very first thing that's nearest to you, the one that stands out there, is when you fold your hand, the thumb is the nearest to you. And of course, whenever you think about seeking God's face in prayer, I think it's important for us to pray for those who are nearest and dearest to us. That's a good start to pray. Then, of course, there's the index finger. And when you think about the family of God and you think about the index finger, the one that's pointing the way, then of course it's good to pray for those who preach and those who teach the Word of God. And certainly Paul said, brethren, pray for us. And that's an important thing as well. And then, of course, the third finger, it's the one, it's the longest of all. It's the one, the third finger, it's the tallest. And whenever it reminds us to pray for those who are in authority over us, and I believe in the family of God, it's so important to pray for the fellowship of God and those who are in leadership in the fellowship. And I know that those who are in leadership of this congregation, it says in verse number 1, the bishops and deacons, and we talked about that last Lord's Day morning, we need to pray for them, that God will bless them, that God will undertake for them, that God will be with them. Then we come to this fourth finger. In actual fact, in many ways, it's thought about the weakest finger of them all. And you know, I believe we ought to, whenever we're praying for the family of God, we need to pray also for those who are weak among us. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those that are going through difficult times and trouble and hardship. We need to pray for them. And you know, in the family of God, friend, there are those that are weak among us. There are those that are struggling. And there are those that are having a hard time. Maybe they're being pressed down by the devil and all the forces that come against them. And I tell you, in the family of God, pray for them. Pray that God will help them, because they're going through valleys. They're going through experiences in life that is troubling them or afflicting them. Then we come to the little finger. You know, friend, whenever we think about all of these others, then we come to the smallest finger of them all. You know what that reminds me about? That reminds me how insignificant we are and how small we are, but we're coming to a great God. Whenever we're coming to God, remember, we are nothing. But thank God He's mighty. He's almighty. And whenever you come to God and see your smallness in relationship to God's greatness, then you'll come and just bring your need to Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Paul prayed for the family of God. And I would exhort every child of God, friend, listen, pray for the family of God in this hell. Pray for every child of God that they need the help of God, they need the blessing of God. Do you know, whenever he thought upon them, he says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And do you know the best remembrance you can have of a child of God, friend? The best remembrance of the children of God upon this place is to remember them before the throne of grace. That's the best remembrance. Remember them before the throne of grace and pray for them. We're to pray for one another. We're to be a help and encouragement the one to the other. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, Paul met the believers there, or led the folks to the Lord, to Christ, to faith in Christ, some 10 years before. And yet he's still praying for them. 10 years later. And he's still thinking upon them. They're still precious to him. He's still recalling them before the throne of grace. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I want us to think of some little things here this morning. In these two verses, 3 and 4, notice there's a personal recollection here. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, I think this is wonderful. I think this is amazing, because remember, Paul's in prison. And Paul's suffering. And Paul's going through hard and difficult times because he has been standing for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And yet, how does he start this little letter? Is he sad, dour? Is he down in the mouth? Has circumstances overcome him? Notice, my friend, how he starts it. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance. He has got a thankful heart. Have you got that today? Are you thanking God for all that God has given you. Maybe, friends, your circumstances is not as others are. Are you thanking God for the circumstances? Because let me tell you, you believe that God's in control. I was visiting in the hospital yesterday, and one of the sisters speaking to me said this to me. You know, preacher, it's only been recently that I have really took it in that God is in control of everything. And even though I'm in and out of hospital, and even though I'm experiencing this weakness in my body, yet there's nothing out of the control of God. And I've learned to just leave it in God's hands. Is that where you're living life, friend? Thanking God for whatever He sends. Thanking God, whatever the situation is. He says, listen, He says, I thank my God. There is a wonderful way to start the day, isn't it? Not a good way to start the day, friend. Thanking God. But not only has He a thankful spirit, but notice He has a joyful spirit. Because He says in verse number 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Suffering, yet thanking and praising. How can you do that, friend? What would make a man do that? I'll believe this. I believe with all my heart, because God's child had an inner peace. His peace was not in his circumstances. His peace was in Christ. He was not looking on the situation that he was facing, because the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So fall apart. No. In this world ye shall have tribulation. And then he said this, but be of good cheer. Do you know why? Because I've overcome the world. And friend, this morning, let me tell you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, and maybe it's not what we want to go through, maybe you're not feeling the way you want to feel in body, but God's sovereign today. God hasn't lost the plot. God is still upon the throne. Now he says, I thank my God, he says, upon every remembrance. And that speaks of recollection, of being mindful, of thinking of someone or something. You know, as Paul thinks upon the believers at Philippi, he just says, Lord, thank you for their acceptance of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the day you saved them. Thank you, Lord, for the day you led me to Philippi to be a blessing and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for their consistent faith. They've been constant. They've been standing in the faith amidst adversity. Thank you for their growth and grace. Thank you for their love for the work of Christ. Thank you for their labors in the gospel of Christ. Thank you for their burden for souls. And Lord, thank you for their love for me. Every remembrance, you know, every thought he had of them, he could just praise God. He was compelled to offer thanks, to offer praise to God. Is that the way people, when they think of us, friend, feel? Is that the spirit that you and I leave with people? Or is it true that when people see us coming, they would love to just run to the other side of the street because they know it's going to be a moaning, groaning time? They're going to tell us about all their problems and all their difficulties and all the problems that others and difficulties that others have brought into their lives. Or whenever they think upon us, to say, you know, there's a child of God. And you know, they're a ray of sunshine. They're a blessing. There's a brother's a blessing to my soul. When I meet him, my, what a blessing he is. Because he talks about the greatness of God and how God has been good to him. And how God has blessed him or blessed her. Every remembrance. Oh, I pray with all my heart, friend, that's the spirit that we will leave with people. That we might know that we are a blessing to them. And then he says this. He says, I thank my God. And the word itself is related to the Greek word for grace or joy. It's to show oneself grateful, to be thankful. Do you remember whenever the Lord Jesus was faced with the 4,000 and he had to feed the 4,000 people? When the Lord Jesus took the bread, and this is the same word, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Well, you see me preaching, but that's easy. Because he's able to thank God for the bread. He's able to praise the Lord for the bread because this is something that is going to sustain him. It's something that's going to be a real blessing. It's also the same word that's found in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. And Paul is in the boat. And the boat's about to break up. It's about to fall apart. And he's soon to be thrown into the water. And everybody with him. And there have been days without bread. And it says in verse 35 of Acts chapter 27, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread. And he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, for they also took some meat. Maybe, friend, the old ship's breaking up this morning. Maybe a lot of problems are facing you. And yet Paul stood in that boat as he handed out that bread. And it says this, he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this bread. Thank you, Lord, that you're in control of every situation in my life. He gave thanks. And Paul was as thankful for the Philippian believers as he was for his daily bread. Now, it is true that when Paul thought of some of the other churches, he couldn't say, Lord, I thank you for every remembrance of them. For example, turn to the book of Galatians. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, what does he write to them? Does he say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for these wonderful people, these wonderful brethren, and every remembrance of them? No, he says in Galatians 3, verse 1, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Or turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we have been reading the book of Corinthians together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. You see, God had worked a wonderful work even in the midst of this sinful people and this sinful city of Corinth. But you go to chapter 3, he says this, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto you as carnal, even as babes in Christ. And friend, you know, as Paul looked at some of the believers, whether it was in Galatia or whether it was in Corinth, to be quite honest, they grieved him. They grieved him. And yet he's writing here to the believers at Philippi, and instead of my friend grieving him, they blessed him. There were those believers that disappointed him, because they were no longer walking with the Lord or serving the Lord. But what's the memory of Philippi? Gladness. Sweet fellowship. If you look there in Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 5, for your fellowship. For your fellowship. And whenever he thought about that fellowship, my, it rejoiced his heart. These believers didn't bring anxiety to the heart of God's servant. They brought delight. Then there's another little thought. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, I thank my God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice he didn't say, I thank God. He said, I thank my God. Because he's talking about someone that he has a personal relationship with. Someone who he knows personally. He's speaking with a blessed assurance. He's speaking with an intimacy in his fellowship with God. He says, even in the midst of adversity, my God. What does that say to me? Listen, God was not at a distance to Paul in the midst of his imprisonment. God hadn't forgotten him. You know, sometimes whenever we face difficulties in life, we feel that the old devil comes and whispers to us, and you know, God has forgotten you. God's not interested in you anymore. Listen, Paul was in prison, friend, and he says, I thank my God, because God was so close. So close. God was his God by covenant. But God was also his God by confession. And while the atheist says there is no God, and whilst the heathen says there are many gods, thank God the believer can say, thou art my God. Paul, in the midst of adversity, had a consciousness of his God. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. Because remember, Paul was once a persecutor. Once Paul used to oppose the things of God and used to persecute the people of God. But he's now able to say, my God. I was also reading this morning in the book of Ruth. And you know, whenever you read that passage of God's word concerning Ruth there, and you remember whenever Ruth was exhorted by Naomi to go and to leave, we find that she said these words in the book of Ruth. She said this, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. My God. Do you remember Doubting Thomas? And Doubting Thomas looked on the nail prints in the hands of the Savior and in his feet. And what did he say? He says, my Lord, my God.
Can I ask you very openly this morning, very personally? Is he your God? You know, the psalmist, over and over again, he speaks about my God. Psalm 3, verse 7, Psalm 5, verse 2, Psalm 7, verses 1 and 3, Psalm 13, verse 3, Psalm 18, verse 2, Psalm 25, verse 2, Psalm 30, verse 2. You can go on through the Psalms. My God, my God, my God, my God. Remember, we gathered around the table of the Lord last Sunday morning. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and he cried out, my God, my God. Because, friend, let me tell you, the Lord never leaves us. The Lord never leaves us, children, when you put your faith and trust in him, even when things are difficult or hard. God hasn't forgotten you. Did not the psalmist say, the Lord is my shepherd? Not a very personal statement. Can you honestly say that this morning? Lord Jesus, you're my Savior. He's not only the Savior of the world. Listen, is he your Savior? Personally? Do you know what it is to have a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Listen, your mother's Savior. And if he's not your Savior, then, my friend, what an awful tragedy. There's a great gulf betwixt. Your father's Savior. If he's not your Savior, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and rested alone upon his finished work upon the cross of Calvary, then he's not yours. I thank my God. I am his, and he is mine. Now, we sang this morning, loved with everlasting love, led by grace. That love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Since I know as now I know. Friend, do you know? Do you really know this? Since I know as now I know, I am his. He is mine. And then he says this, always in every prayer of mine, verse 4, for you all making requests with joy. You see, these believers are not only in Paul's mind thinking of them, they were in Paul's prayers. Not only did he praise God for them, he prayed for them. Wiersbe says, talking to God about his people is certainly as important as talking to his people about God. Well, that's a lovely little statement. Talking to God about his people is certainly as important as talking to his people about God. Paul separated from the believers at Philippi, but he can pray for them. He had a large heart. He had an overflowing spirit. We ought to pray for the family of God. And that's where time has gone, and I want to leave this with you this morning. Listen, friends, in a day of programs, In a day of publicity, in a day of promotions that seem to characterize much of God's work, it must be emphasized that without prayer, no lasting work will be accomplished for God. You can have all your programs. You can have all your promotions. You can have all your publicity. But friend, if there's no prayer, there'll be no power. And there'll be no blessing. That's why Paul said, when he wrote to the Thessalonian believers, he says, pray without ceasing. Or when Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Child of God, pray for the work on the hill. Pray that we might know a deep sense of God's presence every day. Pray that God's servants, as they go out to serve Him, might know God's power. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that Thou art a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, that we believe with all our heart it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Help us, our God, our Father, to daily remember in prayer this work upon this hill, that we might know power. Help us not only to pray for the mission, but help us to pray for every service, every meeting that takes place here, that God's servants might know the power of God, that they might know the enablement of the Holy Spirit, that they might, our God, know the prosperity of God upon the ministry, upon this hill, to the glory and the honor of Thy name. Help us to pray the one for the other. Help us to pray for the work of God. Help us to pray for little Jamaica. Help us to pray for our brother Ian in Scotland. Help us to pray for our brother Morris there in Bristol. Help us to pray for Calvin in Liverpool. Help us to pray for the work of God in the Isle of Man. Help us to pray, Lord, for the work of God to the furthest ends of the earth, that the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, might be uplifted, that Christ's family might, oh God, be extended, and that we might see a great work done for the glory and the honor of Thy precious and Thy holy name. Thank You, Lord, for the prayer warriors. Thank You for those that we meet. And when we think upon them, we know that they are praying for us. That we, when we meet them, we know that they are a blessing to us. But oh God, please, make us a blessing too. And help us always to pray and not to faint. We pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.